Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello everybody and welcome to 9 Pitches for WWE TLC 2020. I am joined by Matthew and Ross. Matthew first, how are you?
I've just woken up. I mean, how dare you say I've just woken up, Jack? I have been ready for this. I'm so excited for TLC, the Pitches video that is. I'm so excited for TLC Pitches 2020 with you two guys.
I'm inescapably excited. Ross, how are you?
I couldn't be looking forward to TLC any less, to be honest with you. I'm not hyped at all for this show. And I know it's December and it's Christmas and all that malarkey, but this week's Raw left a sour taste in my mouth. The last two-thirds of it, at least. I thought it was terrible, me.
Will we get to that later on, or do you want to just explain that now?
Well, how the first bit of Raw was nice. There was two long matches, and then it descended into wacky, spooky, crappy bollocks. That was even, like, too much for me. And I love silly bollocks in my professional wrestling. And it was just naff. There you go.
Well, we'll see if Ross remedies that in this video.
Doubtful.
I suspect not. But if you've never seen a Pitches video from us before, what happens is we'll go around in a circle. Ross, then Matthew, then myself. And we'll all pitch something for this weekend's TLC show. And then once we've been around three times, that will leave us with 9 pitches. But remember, of course, that golden rule. Because these aren't predictions. These are pitches. And it's not what you think's going to happen. It's what we want to happen. Don't you dare think that it's what we think's going to happen, because you'd be wrong. Ross, let's kick off with you.
I'm starting off with a bit of a filthy one, and I'm not too sure how it's going to be received. It's not filthy in a dirty sense. It's just filthy in the concept is a bit dangerous, a bit scandalous. I don't know how the room is going to take this one, so we'll go with it anyway. It's just something I want to see. I'm going to Sasha Banks versus Carmella with this pitch. The end of the match arrives and Sasha Banks looks like she's going to win the match. Corey Graves has alluded to on commentary, it hasn't been said outright, I'm in a relationship with Carmella, she's untouchable, or whatever the word is these days with her. He just says that he likes her a lot, more than most of the other ladies in the women's roster at the minute. By the way, just in case you weren't aware, they are in a relationship in real life. I just thought I'd put that in there. It's a crucial bit of information. So he's into the final stretch of the match, Corey. He's standing up. He's going radio rent. He's willing Carmella on for reasons that haven't been quite explained yet. Banks has got the bank statement locked in. It looks like Carmella's going to tap, but no. Corey Graves has enough. He unplugs his headset. He then walks to the side of jogs, maybe sprints, upwards of 5 yards to the side of the ring, and he hoys his headset at the head of Sasha Banks. But somehow, the referee has been distracted, which I haven't written down here, but I've just thought of in my mind. Otherwise, that would be a disqualification, wouldn't it, Ross? That's how the wrestling works, you silly, silly man. This allows Carmella to somehow reverse the Banks statement into a roll-up, and Carmella wins the SmackDown Women's title. There's some buggery going on here. Some scandalous shenanigans at the hands of Carmella and especially Corey Graves. But then as Carmella and Corey are hugging and kissing and doing all kinds of things inside the ring, celebrating Carmella becoming the SmackDown Women's Champion, Corey Graves feels the top of his head. He can't feel a headset, can he? Because he threw it at Sasha Banks. He's looking round the ring. He's thinking, there's no Maggle Colt at the side of me here. There's no commentary table in front of me. He screams at the top of his lungs, I'm free! And then he announces that from here on out, he is going to be the manager of Carmella. His time as a SmackDown commentator is done because, in my humble opinion, and it might just be because he's been doing this for 5 years or 6 years, however long it's been, he's become a little bit stale. Is that fair? Is that too harsh? He's still nice. He's still better than most, but a little bit stale, in my opinion, on the commentary table. So this, we're going to put the cat among the pigeons and have Corey Graves just get rid of his commentary role and become the manager of the brand new sort of psychotic and delusional that Carmella I'm very much enjoying on the most recent SmackDown to the one where I sat here. So yeah, Corey Graves becoming Carmella's manager from here on out. That's the crux of the pitch there.
Oh, my immediate, well, two concerns, but I'm not going to give my vote yet because I want to hear what you've got to say about these. First of all, oh, it's a lot of pressure on Corey to make that shot with the headset and pow Sasha in the head. Is he hitting her with it or is he throwing it?
He's from Philadelphia. They have the baseball, do they?
Yeah, they do.
Baseball. I presume he would have played the baseball growing up. So if he was a pitcher.
Yep.
If he did the bowling like Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson, etc. I assume he's going to be fine at that.
Yeah, that's sound logic. I've got no issues with that anymore. My other concern is that it's another short title reign for Sasha Banks, isn't it?
It is, but I always enjoy Sasha more, especially when she's a babyface, chasing rather than holding the title. And I'm not saying it's been bad, she's barely done anything. I guess it also feeds into the continued narrative of Sasha not being able to hold on to her titles for a long time. And it, I don't know where it goes. Maybe it is one too many, Jack. Maybe that is a consideration I've overlooked there. But I've got written down here, Sasha is better chasing anyways. In my opinion.
I think when she's a heel, I think she's better as a heel anyway. But I think when she's a heel champion, she's phenomenal, like we saw at NXT with Bayley. But as a face, I agree with you there. I'm undecided still. Matthew, what do you think?
There's a few things there. One, if he's going to be a manager as opposed to a commentator, that would mean he'd need to get physical with people. The reason he became a commentator is because he wasn't allowed to get physical anymore because of his head. So this did lead me to think there could be a scene where Sasha Banks goes, what are you doing? You're not allowed a manager's license. She has like a bit of paper that says manager's license printed off that Hannibal TV can use or whatever. And and then he can go, it's all right, Sasha. I've had an injection of Daniel Bryan genes, so I used to be bad, but now I'm good. And you go, really? Yeah. And then she decks him. I can see that working very well. I suppose Corey Graves is a commentator. I think he's okay.
He is okay. He's become a part of the furniture, hasn't he? And I don't know if that's a bad thing or if it's a good thing. It's just like when I remember back in NXT when he would like, wow, I was thinking, wow, it's like the closest thing to Bobby Heenan in WWE there's been for many years. And now he's a bit like, but then I don't know if that's just because he's been doing it for 6 years now. It's hard to think, isn't it? 6 years.
Corey Graves' trajectory reminds me of Owen's trajectory in Cultaholic. Like, everyone likes him at first. And then he starts to buy into his own hype a bit and turns into just arsehole overshadowing everyone else. But sorry, carry on.
I love you saying this when he's in listening distance.
Nah, all he's the comments you're in saying. His room. He's miles away.
Yeah, you panned the right and he's there like reading TV guide going, oh, wait, man. He's circling when The Great Escape's on next week. Yeah, I think he's all right. It's the weird thing is Corey Graves is all right at commentary. There could be a lot worse. We could have more Phillips. We could have more Saxon. We could have more clone commentators from NXT showing up. So, I don't know.
Get JBL back. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
T-shirt shit sails through the roof for Cultaholic.
Oh, you know what? It swung around in my head because you know that wrestlers have their themes, but more often than not, they have like a little bit of audio at the start to get people get the cat excited. That could mean that Corey could come out, and because it's been a long time and everyone forgets his theme, it will probably start with "You've made a grave mistake." Whatever his new theme is, so
and
yeah,
we would
you know
get
what?
Paid millions of pounds for the privilege, obviously.
Of course, that's how it works. This has just been a setup, isn't it? Because you know, people in WWE Creative watch this show. I see. Well, very smart, Ross. Love the grind. It's a yes from me.
Oh, thank you.
It's a no from me, unfortunately, because there's just slightly too many holes in it for me. Just slightly too many things against it. Sorry. So I know it's early in the day as well that we're recording this, so I feel like I've ruined your day already.
Day ruined now. I've got like 7 videos to do today, and I'm sure I'll just be sad in each and every one of them.
Yeah.
Thinking of what could have been if I got a yes from Jack the Jobber for my first pitch for TLC 2020.
Matthew, what's your first pitch for TLC 2020?
I mean, let Ross recover. I won't, man. Just...
Sorry.
I'm all right, Matthew. I'll get over it. It's fine.
Oh, that was quick, God. It's not David Bryan, Gene. Okay. The women's tag team title match. Nia Jax and Shayna come out for the title defense, and they say, oh, boy, can't wait to see who the partner is for Asuka. Asuka comes out, and her teammate is revealed to be Lana, with her leg in a cast. And Nia Jax and Shayna are like, they're laughing like me whenever I think Jack Swan on the podcast.
Yeah.
And then she says, look, I don't think I'm ready for a normal tag match, as you can see by my giant cast, but I have spoken backstage to Adam Pearce. This is Lana's voice. <That's right>. Adam Pearce.
She's from Russia,
remember, Jack.
Lana's turned into a biker grandma.
I'm going to defend me honour by competing in a no DQ match. And then Nia and Shayna are like, oh, really? Wait, let's ask her too much. Oh, yeah, we'll be all right for no DQ match. Oh, man, this is going to be sweet. Yeah. Lana says, oh, that's good. You know what I said? I was injured. Yeah, you did. You could see your cast. I lied. And then she flexes so hard, the cast just pops off her. And Nia and Shayna look confused as Lana says, I've been letting you treat me like crap this entire time so I could get you right where I wanted you. Lana jumps from the floor to the ring, not even touching the ropes, as Nia and Shayna start going, oh no, oh no, oh no, no, no. Bam, Butterbean punch to Shayna. Bam, Marco Krokop kick to Nia Jax. Press slam and Nia over the ropes through a table. Countering a perfect goggle platter into the Lana lock with one finger on Shayna to win the tag titles effortlessly. Before getting on the mic and declaring, that's the first table I've put you through. You've got an eight more coming to you, Nia. And then the following series of roars, we have Nia and Shayna hiding backstage in wacky segments, trying to avoid mega Lana from putting her through more tables. And I think this is the only way to salvage the god-awful drivel about having Lana come out and cry and get injured and cry and whimper every bloody episode of Raw since before Survivor Series. It's all been one big plan, one big ploy, because I'm sick of being... I am a huge loser. I don't want to see myself represented on TV, all right? I want to see people kicking ass and destroying each other at the lovely sport professional wrestling. And it being one big ruse and Lana's the super soldier would make TLC, and if anything else happens, then this show sucks. Well, what are your thoughts?
At first I thought you were going to say that she was going to, because the cast was so massive, I thought she had a rifle in it and she was going to be like, oh, it's no DQ.
My God.
Bang. But
hang
no,
on, let me write, that's the second pitch sword out. Thanks, Jeff.
What I've got to ask, how has Lana become Super Saiyan? How has she done this?
No, she's always been that way.
Oh, she just needed to believe in herself.
That's right.
Okay.
She's like, Arthur.
Yes. Yes, I told you not to touch it. And she decks her.
Then Asuka could be a DW. And we're going to have all kinds of fun and japery.
Yeah.
I had a friend at uni who looked like Muffy.
Which one was Muffy?
The posh rich one, I think.
Ah, bitch.
Yes, I have nothing else to say about... Oh, you know what? With the Arthur theme, she could have the only other thing I know about Arthur, which is, I thought I was Jekyll, Jekyll, Hyde, Jekyll, Hyde, Hyde, Jekyll. Jekyll, Jekyll, Hyde, Jekyll, Hyde.
Jekyll, Hyde.
Thank you, Ross. I'm glad we're finally bonded over something.
I don't think I've seen that episode, actually.
Oh, mate, if you listen to it once on YouTube, it will never leave your head.
I'll stay away from that then.
Send it to you accidentally. Say an important message from Pacini.
Matthew, it's a yes from me, I think.
Oh, get in.
I think it's a yes from me. Just for the idea of Lana having been secretly amazing and a badass all this time, and she's just never felt the need to prove it, but now she does, to get her hands on the most prestigious of all WWE's titles, the women's tag team title. So it's a yes from me, I think. Ross?
1,000% yes. This is what they should have done at Survivor Series instead of having Lana bullied onto the stairs, crying, and then just stealing a victory at the end in an underhanded manner. So, yes, fully on board here.
You know what? It wasn't going to be my first pitch, but I'm going to reshuffle the order because mine's very similar to yours, actually, Matthew. So, women's tag match. But in mine, Lana is out. She can't compete. There is a mystery opponent. Now, me and Ross were talking about this And Ross, I think, is right. He reckons it's going to be Charlotte Flair. And having heard that, I think he's right. I thought maybe it could be Eva Marie as well. Either way, whoever is with Asuka, I feel like the general consensus is Asuka and Mystery Partner are going to win. It just seems like, at least that's what how I see it going. It seems like they're heavy favourites to win. So I thought, why not just get all that out of the way? We know that Asuka's going to win anyway. Her mystery partner, is someone who can basically make the match a quick one and squash their opponents instantly. And
Goldberg.
It's Goldberg. Who in wrestling history is the best? No, it actually is. It actually is Goldberg.
It's Goldberg.
Yeah, that was my pitch. Oh. So I was thinking who in wrestling is the kayfabe strongest, hardest wrestler ever? It's probably Goldberg, actually. So Goldberg comes out with the sparks, all sorts. Shayna and Nia are like, hang on, what's going on here? They get in the ring. Asuka might start the match. Tags in Goldberg. Spear, jackhammer, 1, 2, 3. And the new women's champions are Asuka and Goldberg, right? First of all, massive plus for intergender wrestling. Like, everybody would absolutely love that, I think. And second, because I'm a big fan of intergender wrestling, I feel like it should be represented in WWE. I can't think of any better way. I can't think of any better way to do it. And it also means we have the idea of WWE's odd pairing tag partners. You know, they love doing that, especially in the women's division, who tag partners who are different or don't get along. That's taken to its logical extreme. We can never do that again once Asuka and Goldberg have lost those belts. They have a long reign of very short matches. And most importantly, and this is the main reason behind this entire pitch, it keeps Goldberg out of the world title picture because he's too busy doing this. He's not going to interfere with Roman's excellent storyline. He's not going to take the belt off Drew or anything. I feel like this is the best place for Goldberg in the women's tag division, dominating it week in and week out. Thoughts?
It's a resounding yes for me for two reasons. First of all, because in WWE, in intergender tag team matches, the men can only touch the men and the women can only touch the women. So I want to see Goldberg shadow wrestle his way around these matches. And also, it's a second yes from me because apparently Goldberg's contract has got 2 more years to go and two matches per year. So 4 more matches in WWE. If Von's getting used up on Sunday, good. Because that means one less where he can potentially squash someone like The Fiend, which he scandalously politicked for earlier this year. And also, just off the top of my head there, we could have a nice name. The Streaky Blinders, because they both had a streak.
Yes, I like that a lot.
Streaky Blinders.
Yes. And then presumably, the way you've said that there, I can imagine them actually saying it as they do that. Streaky Blinders! Double spears. Goldberg's to nobody.
Bash heads.
Yeah. Oh, no. Goldberg will sell it. Asuka won't. He'll take a bump. Like, what the hell's going on? Matthew.
I'll go with a yes, because I was expecting Ross to be like, no, how dare you bring up Goldberg? I hate him. But he said yes now, so I feel bad if I said no. Yeah, because you're right. We're not using him because we think this is going to be a great way to use Goldberg, use him to get away from all the other stuff. And it also means you have the possibility of Shayna out-shadow wrestling a la William Goldberg in that episode of Nitro one time. And I like the idea of Goldberg, like, no, I don't know what to do, a headlock, as no one's touching him. So I think that would be good for a laugh. And let's face it, it is the women's tag title, so you might as well. Oh, plus it means that at some point, Lana can then go, what the hell is this? Asuka, I can't believe you replace me with anybody else. And Asuka has to explain, well, it's Goldberg, mate. You want, hey.
then we get Super Lana versus Goldberg.
Yeah. And then Asuka's like, oh, you're right, I should have picked you. Yeah, there you go. That could be the Rumble match, Lana versus Goldberg.
Your version of Lana.
My version of Lana, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the one that exists Goldberg, in all of us.
Lobbing him everywhere, ringside.
Yes, well, what a lovely pitch, Jack.
Thank you. Ross, can we have your second pitch, please?
Yeah, I got sent a bobblehead. Kane by Sanjay from Wolverhampton earlier this week, so it's inspired by that. What a lovely present it was. It's on my Instagram. If you want to see the bobblehead Kane. But on this week's Raw, of course, we saw Bray Wyatt. He got locked in a box, and then Randy Orton set that box on fire. So apparently, despite this attempted murder that happened on Monday Night Raw, Sunday's match is still, according to Wikipedia, which of course is the best source of information in the world today, it's still just a singles match apparently. So first and foremost with this pitch, at the start of the kickoff show, the start of the main show, somehow Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton becomes an unsanctioned match. Because just to remind you, Randy Orton tried to murder Bray Wyatt on this week's Raw by locking him in a box and setting that box on fire. Randy didn't bank on Bray being a mystical spooky man, but still, attempted murder happened, so something more severe needs to happen. So the unsanctioned match, and I've got written down here, no pun intended, I want the Fiend to get his heat back. Because I reckon, just like a bit like Corey Graves, he's gone a little bit stale. When he's the Fiend, he turns up, he shocks somebody, he attacks somebody, he disappears. The lights go down, the lights come back on. It's become very much the same each and every time. And I reckon we need to shake things up by doing something horrible and drastic and shocking. So we're going to wind up in the scenario where the Fiend sets fire to Randy Orton, just like Kane's Night of Terror, to bring it back to the bobblehead Kane I was sent earlier this week. So yes, Randy Orton has set Bray's box on fire, so it's only fair, and the shed as well, he set the shed on fire a few years ago, so it's only fair in this match somehow Bray Wyatt, whether it be like Kane shooting the fire via lightning from his hand, he sets Randy Orton on fire, and that's how the match ends. Bray Wyatt wins this unsanctioned match, well, wins the unsanctioned match by setting Randy Orton on fire. Randy Orton runs away on fire like that guy going up the ramp when Kane got him back in the day, and that's how the match ends. And then I've got written down here, Bray Wyatt, the Firefly Funhouse version, he then appears at the end of the match doing a karaoke version of Burning My Light by Mercy Drive.
It's a strong pitch, that.
I'm not advocating that we actually set Randy Orton on fire. Let's have a stuntman in there because it's a bit too dangerous. But I was trying to think of something to make the fiend this is, not Bray Wyatt, like the Fiend, the character, what he does, a bit more interesting. And I reckon something drastic, like setting another man on fire and the sheer shock value of that. Of course, we're outside in the Thunderdome these days, so fire hazard, that's out the window. We're outside now, it's fine. The smoke can just go into the atmosphere. So there we have it. There's my pitch. Randy Orton getting set on fire.
When you mentioned Randy Orton getting set on fire there, it really gave me a flashback to something from childhood, and it's to do with a game on the SNES, I think. So I'll ask Matthew if he remembers this. It was either on the SNES or the Nintendo 64. Do you remember a Toy Story game, and you were Woody, and it was a side scroller, but there was levels where you were the RC car sometimes and stuff like that, right? Do you remember that game? Do you remember the level where you're sneaking across Sid's bedroom, like his desk, and if he comes along, you've got to play dead like a toy? And he sets you on fire with a magnifying glass. And then Woody runs around going, hot, 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 hot. And you've got to control him as he's running around. That's when Ross said Randy Orton gets set on fire and did a bit of that with his arms. I imagine Randy Orton running along back and forth going, hot, hot, hot. And I really want that to be the case now. So can we somehow fix it so that it's not a stuntman? It is actually Randy.
Well, yeah, why not? Let's set Randy Orton on fire.
You'll be fine. Like in some, there'll be smoke and mirrors, no pun intended.
When was the last time somebody did get set on fire in the wrestling? Was it MVP with Kane? Or has there been one since then?
At North, I saw Benji get his arse set on fire.
Kane versus Daniel Bryan at the Extreme Rules match. Get put through the table.
Is there a burning table?
Yeah. Wow. Do you remember there was fire extinguisher at ringside and people were like, why is that? And he's like, wait, there's actually fire? That's
awesome. Really? When was this?
Like 2014?
Really? Wow.
Yeah,
this must have been when I wasn't watching. I can't remember this at all.
Oh, Kane's gooded now. It's like you're taking a bubble head and shut up your ass. It's a yes from me. I like the idea of the Fiend doing interesting things rather than these weird, silly things. Well, good, weird things, I should say. I think we're in agreement there. I also like the idea of Randy Orton being on fire and then instinctively going for a chin lock. So, yeah. There you go. Yes. Yes to Fiend things.
Get in. Thank you.
Looks like the world's most anime chin lock.
Burst. Hot, hot, hot. He's calling a spot in his ear. Hot, 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 hot.
It's a yes from me as well. Fire's always good in wrestling. Well, that might be a bit of a generalisation. Fire's often good in wrestling. And I think it would be good to see the Fiend do more cool things. Don't play with fire at home, kids. As cool as it is. Matthew, your second pitch, please.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mine's similar because it is Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton again.
Oh, who would have thought, eh? Similar.
I know, right? one of the only matches with a build-up and a storyline to talk about. Instead of this, though, instead of what you went through, the Fiend will dominate the entire match because he can't feel pain. Or sell. So they brawl around everywhere. And I think, yes, somebody have missed a point here where it's like, oh, it's the TLC, the Tender Loving Care, Firefly, Death, Fiery, Bernie house match. Like he does every time it's a big match. And they're going around the Thunderdome, around the big screens, and he's throwing him from the ringside area back towards the ring. And at one point, the puppets appear. As they always do, that's one specific place where a puppeteer could go. And at one point, Randy gets a chair, but then...
You're still there.
You're all right.
Bit of a blip there, big pun. Must have been the Fiend. But at one point, Sister Abigail trips him up. Randy's, and he drops a chair. So the Fiend stops what he's doing and goes, thanks, guys. Thanks, Sister Abigail. Thanks, Mercy the Buzzard. And last but not least, Ramblin' Rabbit. And Rabbit goes, last but not least, and then strikes the Fiend with a carrot from behind, allowing Randy Orton to get the pin. And then Randy Orton spends the rest of the time from December to January telling Rabbit that he reminds him of when Randy was in Evolution and he was surpassing Triple H. And Rabbit's like, yeah, thanks, dude. Which sets up the Fiend versus Rabbit at the Ramblin' Rumble.
This is top tier.
Thank you for the sarcasm.
It's only fair though, Matthew, because how many times in the illustrious history of the Firefly Funhouse has Ramblin' Rabbit been murdered for no good reason whatsoever? It's about time he got his own back. It's about time.
It's a no from me because oh my word, whenever I say I'm the only person giving out no's on this one, I feel really bad.
Alright, Adam.
Taking everyone very seriously. Well, how would that logistically work? So, Matthew.
Yes.
I reckon that a pitch with you involving puppets, at some point down the line, my puppet's going to get involved and I can't be having any more spotlight on that little man.
Oh. More spotlight. He hasn't done out for 12 months.
He's had merch released before me.
Oh, yeah.
So I think... Just to avoid that and to knock him down a peg or two. And to stop Puppet Jack from getting ideas, because if he sees Ramblin' Rabbit thinking of ousting Bray Wyatt, then that might happen to me. So I can't be having that. So to keep him on his level, I'm going to have to say no.
Why haven't we done that where there's a storyline where you're attacked, but Owen's like, I was here the entire time playing Champ Man, Your Honor. And then it reveals his little mask. And it's like, Puppet Jack, it was you. Because the only person that's that, like, apart from me, that's that big in the office. Anyway, I'm rambling, rather like the rabbit. So to no and a yes, I'll take it.
Fair. My second one, tragically, is the most serious of the three. So this one's not as funny. Just generally something that I want to see happen. I feel like the problem at the minute is, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like both sets of men's world champions are pretty much unchanged going into WrestleMania. We kind of know that Drew and Roman are going to carry those belts. It seems anyway, like they're both going to go into WrestleMania, especially Roman. I think to shake things up, right, one of them should lose the belt here. And I feel like it can't be Roman. I feel like it has to be Drew, unfortunately. So I feel like Miz should try and cash in like Seth Rollins in the middle of the match. But I think AJ should win anyway with help from his massive sidekick. Then you've got heel champion AJ with Omos, who's just huge. That's the only thing about him that we know, really. You've got AJ turning away people with the help of his bodyguard. That means that come WrestleMania, well, it means that someone's going to win the Rumble, because I feel like Roman's challenger shouldn't be from the Rumble. I feel like that should be the Raw challenger. Someone wins the Rumble, and then, like Hogan and Andre, body slams Omos at WrestleMania en route to beating AJ Styles for the belt. Now, that person for me would be Cesaro. I know he's on SmackDown at the minute. I feel like he could win the Rumble and then go over to Raw and then challenge AJ. I feel like, if anything, Cesaro is the most likely one, because did you hear the new story about that list that the writers all wrote in WWE and it all had various names on? The writers all got told to write a list of people they feel are being underutilized or could do better if they were given more time. And Cesaro was on like everyone's list, and Chad Gable and stuff. And I looked at them and I thought, which one would be the best? I want Cesaro to win something at some point, please. So I've gone for Cesaro to win the Rumble, beat AJ at WrestleMania, body slam almost like Andre the Giant. But to get there, we need Drew to lose the match at the weekend. So my pitch is for Drew to lose to set all those events in motion. Drew can lose because he's been screwed by Sheamus, I guess, and they can have a big beery brawl at WrestleMania as well. Sorry, that was an actual pitch. I'm disappointed in myself.
Well, my we two put pitches to the pitch video. Jeez.
I know.
My silly ones to come. Those two were serious for me.
I'll go first. I liked it. That you're doing the forward planning thing that Pachiti does so well.
He's got like a manuscript.
Yeah. Brings it out. It's like Jericho's list from 98. But I don't necessarily think that Drew needs to lose the title here. When you say it needs to be more interesting, TLC's never really been it, other than that weird time with Sheamus when he completely wasn't ready in 09. It's never really been a time for title changes or things. It's just here's the stop before the proper feuds kick in. So I'm all right with Drew not losing. Ever. In fact, 2021, I don't think he should lose once. Maybe the Sheamus via DQ, but I think that should be it, because right now they need a star. The ratings were the lowest ever for Raw this week. Can't think why. So they need to go from the theory of having the brand is the star. It's like, well, the brand isn't a star. The brand is a joke. The brand is Lana crying on the corner. So they need someone to be pushed to that super level. And I think that should be Drew. And one way of keeping him strong is having him not lose and just kick everybody in the face.
That is the big downfall in my pitch, isn't it, really? But Ross, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a big fat no from me as well, Jack. I'm very sorry to break this news to you this morning. First of all, because we're casting Drew off into obscurity, kind of, although we could pull it around with WrestleMania. And also, I don't want to see Drew and Sheamus fight. I love the relationship they've got, where one is technically a heel, even though he wrestled as a babyface on this week's Raw, as we're sat here against, who the hell was it against? AJ Styles it was at the start of the show, wasn't it? I love the fact that he's a heel, Drew's a face, but they get along anyway because they're old pals, and then when they have a falling out, they have a fight to settle the differences. Long may that continue. Let them be the 2021 Brothers of Destruction / APA wrapped up in a European bundle. So, there's me two reasons for saying no.
Fair. It makes sense, I suppose. And I do like the Drew and Sheamus dynamic as well. Out of interest, do you think that Sheamus is going to turn on him?
Of course he will.
Yeah. Matthew?
Of course. It'll turn on him, but they'll still be in team We Hate England. So.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, fair.
They'll turn on him, but not all the way.
Whose turn it? Ross, it's your final pitch now.
I'm going to Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns in a TLC match. We've got Kevin Owens. He's beaten down Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is just about dead. His body is lifeless on the canvas. The music of Disney's Fantasia can be heard in the distance inside the Thunderdome. The lifeless corpse of Roman. It starts to twitch on the mat. A thunderstorm starts inside the Thunderdome. Tornadoes, lots of rain, maybe a bit of snow. Who knows how severe this thunderstorm could be. Tables, which of course line the ramp area. They've got ladders and all sorts of props and ornaments and all that malarkey. They start flying around. Picture Wizard of Oz at the start with everything flying around inside a tornado, but it's tables, tables, and more tables. Kevin Owens gets drowned in tables, essentially, right here. Maggle Cole can be heard on commentary saying, "Oh my, could it be? It is! It's the tables!" You know how it goes by now. Human table men come marching down to the ring. They form a circle around the twitching body of Roman as the Fantasia music. It gets louder, and it gets louder, and it gets louder.
I just realised,
Roman jolts up like a bolt. He's like, "Whoa!" And he just can be seen saying, "I am the head of the table. Assemble!" He shouts very loudly indeed. The tables, they start to form into a massive table man, like the Transformers, but with tables. Roman then turns into a table of his own, but he's the biggest and the best table, and because he's Roman Reigns, he becomes the head of this Transformer table man. That then table thing, it just boots Kevin Owens off. Into the distance, he flies away. You can never see him again. Kevin Owens retires from profession. I'm not, that's a bit of a lie. I don't want Kevin Owens to retire. But Kevin Owens is booted out the Thunderdome by the human table man. And then quite simply, the table man, because he's so tall, plucks the belt, and then Roman wins the title. Oh, retains the title.
Well, it's a yes from me.
To be honest with you, last night I was struggling for a third pitch, and I was thinking, well, I've got me two serious ones there. Let's go for a funny one. And I watched that South Park episode with the film thing and Mr. Hankey. Yeah.
So it's a yes from me, because if that happened, I'd want to see how that would affect the world. We've confirmed the existence of basically a wizard. He can manipulate tables and turn into one. And I just want to see how that would... I mean, Roman Reigns would become the most famous man in the world and could use his powers for good or evil. And maybe he would enslave the population and bend us all to his whim. I don't know. But I'd be very interested to see what would happen if that came to fruition. So it's a yes from me.
Thank you for taking this one so seriously. That's all right. Very serious answer you gave her.
Yeah.
Jack contemplated the social, economical impact on Roman Reigns becoming the actual head of the table.
The price of tables would go through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah, how would we do video? Oh, Roman Reigns is crap. Wait, hang on, there's a knock at the door. I've just changed my opinion of this. Roman Reigns is the best wrestler ever. Like,
we'd be recording this and we'd hear a rumbling coming, and like Roman would have made his way to Newcastle and he'd be clumping down the street. Yeah, yeah. And oh, God. Or the earth, the different nations would have to construct big Roman Reigns tracking defense devices to know where on earth he was at any given time in case he should unleash his terror upon any population in particular. This is mad, yeah. This.
Matthew, before you give your answer, I'm going to tickle your ball sack a little bit, my friend.
It's well and truly tickled at this point, but hey,
Roman's,
by all means.
Roman's new theme. His new theme song as the table man. It can be taken from a certain internet wrestling video series.
Oh, right.
And then given lots of money to Matthew.
Yes, there we go. Ross has always got his money on his mind, with these pitches. I do like it. I was going to say, Jack, the one with all these giant evil table things having to be built to stop Roman, it's all right. Austria would be okay, because they'll just use the actual Volta. And my only issue with your pitch, Ross, is the fact that I thought you said early you'd already done your serious pitches.
There we go, Matthew. I thought this was the silly one, but, you know, it happened to Mr. Hankey, so why can't it happen to Roman Reigns?
Yeah, for somehow managing to remove Jekyll Hyde from my head and replacing it with the theme from Fantasia. It's a well and truly deserved plus from myself. The Fantasia, the Transformers, the tables, Kevin Owens getting flicked. Yeah, well done, Ross. You've done it again, by Jove.
Thank you. And just to those people who are saying this is too unrealistic, Jeff Hardy is a mystical character within WWE canon these days. Yeah. Remember when he made his face change by blinking inside that bar with Sheamus? Anybody can be a mystical figure in the wrestling these days, and it will be Roman Reigns as well.
Yeah. The Fiend and his puppets will be wrestling on this show. Just saying.
Matthew, it's your turn.
It is. Don't get your hopes up too much. Drew McIntyre adds a stipulation to the TLC match that if he wins, no one is allowed to do a crap impression of him anymore. Drew then wins. That's the pitch.
Yes, it's a yes for me,
yes,
straight away.
Yes for me as well, yeah.
And again, I'll preface this by saying, because it was funny when you were last week going, oh, Miz and Morrison, they were really annoying me last week. I know they were supposed to, but they were really annoying me. It was very adorable. It was very, very Jack. But,
thank you.
Yeah, okay, Miz and Morrison doing it. They're baddies. Having the supposedly likable Riddle backstage doing it. Having all the other good guys backstage also going, he's from Scotland every time he's mentioned. It's like, no, guys, no, please.
Here.
Please.
This must be what it's like to be Jen when she comes down here. Because everyone's just like, oh, A-Op the new Jen. How are
we
you,
We do
Hen?
Not do that, do we?
Maybe that's why she went home from the Christmas party. Maybe she wasn't drunk at all. She was just sick to death. And everyone going, A-Op, yeah, we that's golfer. Well, mini
Matthew
golf,
keeps
everyone.
On asking me about, oh, Willie, I'm going to bed.
What? Oh, God.
Yeah.
So it is. Why do Scottish people say so it is quite a lot? So it is, aye, so it is.
Thank you for my pitch about not taking the piss out of bad accents by continually taking the piss out of
my Scottish accent's acceptable at least. I think it's all right.
Citation needed.
Aye, it's all right. So it is. It's a yes from me because the biggest culprit, I think we all know who it is as well, it's John Morrison, isn't it? He's the biggest culprit in this. Did you see the thing on Reddit, I think it was, where someone found that he'd done it 10 years ago when Drew was just
a build, Jack, to TLC 2000 and whatever it was. It was a build to TLC again, apparently.
And he's dressed exactly the same as he was on Raw.
The only difference was the sash, it went one way in 2000 and whatever it was, and it went the other way on this week's Raw. The only difference.
Why have they changed that?
It could mean anything.
Yeah. I think the problem
is... That's a sign he's losing this Sunday.
I think the problem is that Morrison thinks he does a class Scottish accent because there was a few weeks ago, there was a little brawl where Drew had just kicked the Miz or something and he was making his way towards Morrison and Morrison was on the mic and he went, wait, stop, mate, I like you. And he did the voice and then Drew just like nutted him. And I think in that moment, Vince must have gone, yeah. Brilliant. Like, he must have thought that Morrison was class. They've gone all in with it. I feel like Morrison needs to be taught that it's not that good. It's not the worst Scottish impression out of everybody on the roster, but it's not the best one it could possibly be. So it's a yes from me, Matthew Foley.
I agree.
Fantastic. That's right. It. I'm not going to ruin it. I'm not going to do another crap Scottish impression. No, I'm going to move on and go, that's it. Jack, the last pitch, please.
So my next pitch is, I feel like we can all agree that this year's TLC card needs, in the words of Chris Eubank, a little bit of spice added to the equation. Because there's a lot of, there's two TLC matches, isn't there? But there's no tables matches, there's not even a chairs match. And we all love a chairs match.
Oh, no!
So I feel like there needs to be another stipulation added somewhere. As Ross mentioned, at the moment, at the time of recording, Randy versus Bray is still just a singles match, despite attempted murder being in the feud. Carmella and Sasha doesn't have a stipulation, I think, as well. Yeah. Either of those matches could be subject to this next pitch. But I think I'm going to add a new match to the card with this stipulation that I'm about to pitch. And that match is going to be Keith Lee versus Vince McMahon, because Vince, for whatever reason, has decided that Keith Lee's rubbish. How can you reach that conclusion? I don't know. But Keith obviously lost a handicap match on Raw. Did you hear that apparently he was just going to lose to The Miz? That was the initial plan. But then they added Morrison in to make it 2-on-1. Because, I mean, that's outrageous. How can you decide that Keith Lee is not worth pushing? I don't understand. So, for the sake of this pitch, it's Keith versus Vince in a new stipulation I've invented. called a tables, then ladders, then chairs match. It's three stages of hell fused with TLC. Fall 1 is a tables match, Fall 2 is a ladders match, and the climactic and most exciting fall, and I've realised the error of my ways here as I've said it, is a chairs match. The problem here with the match that I've pitched is that Vince needs to win one of the falls to take it to the chairs match. So we'll give Vince the ladder. Which one would Vince win? The table one.
He would just put a brass ring above the ring. And then Keith wouldn't reach it, would he?
Perfect. And then Vince would win the chairs match, I guess. So my pitch, you can apply this to... This is quite a flexible one. I just used Keith versus Vince to make it topical, but you can slap this on any match you want. It's my new invention. The stipulation is my pitch. It's the patented Jack the Jobber tables, then ladders, then chairs match. Thoughts, please.
Sometimes it's more fun just to listen to you talk.
Right, cheers. No, the problem is when the longer you are silent, the more I keep going and trying to...
That's great,
maybe,
isn't it?
Maybe this could happen and I don't know what to say, guys.
This is what we call chemistry. We pretend there's lag on Zoom and there's none. It's just... Jack, I appreciate you trying. I appreciate you
what a scathing review.
I appreciate you trying to combine all the things, the TLC, the Keith Lee fallout thing, getting buried, losing in a handicap match, makes sense to me, and all the other things there to make something that the fans can get behind, because that is what you provide here at Cultaholic. You know what the fans are like, because you are one yourself. You're a secret agent. I like it. I don't want to see Vince McMahon on the pay-per-view.
Can I give you half a
Zangief? We haven't done that this episode.
Now you are Bison Trooper. Yeah, Bison you can Trooper, do that. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And Keith Lee will understand that reference because he's a nerd.
Does he like Street Fighter the movie?
He's got to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To write a passage for some of these people.
Ross?
I'm going to say yes. We did a news thing yesterday where Kevin Owens... Who revealed it was Kevin Owens versus Vince McMahon at WrestleMania 34?
It was Kevin Owens saying that it was going to be Shane and Vince versus him and Sammy.
So we were robbed of a Vince McMahon match, Matthew, in 2018. I need to see this match happen. So I want to see Vince McMahon getting spirit bombed everywhere. He's not brittle, man. He's got beef all over the place. He's got plenty of cushion for the pushing and all that malarkey inside the wrestling ring. But I didn't think too much of Keith losing to The Miz and Morrison on Raw, because I was thinking, hey, that's The Miz and Morrison, two men taking down one, until someone reminded me that Drew McIntyre beat those two easily in a similar handicap match, and I thought, hey, that's not quite right now, is it?
Braun Strowman did as well.
Yeah, Braun Strowman did as well. I'm sure there's a catalogue of people who's done it. So that leaves us out a bit of taste in your mouth. So yes, let's allow Keith Lee to get his own back on Vince McMahon.
And then, to come out and celebrate with him, it's only Ross Tweddle and Tom Campbell, and they do a live rendition of the song.
Oh, that's it. You're like Ross. You're thinking of the money. That's I'm doing this podcast completely wrong, aren't I? I'm sorry.
Keith. I've not listened to that for a while, actually. Yeah. It's been long enough now that I think I can again.
I just hear it in the middle of the night. I just wake up. Cold,
that's just Tom.
Sweat.
He's just there.
Just outside my window, shouting.
The boombox over here.
he's drawn Keith in fire on the front lawn.
Is that the end of the video, is it then?
I think that's all the
pitches. Well done, lads.
I was waiting for Matthew to do the outro, and then I remembered that I'm actually the host of this one.
That's right.
Thanks very much for the pitches, and everybody watching along. Why not leave your pitches in the comment section down below? That'd be great. Thanks once again. Obviously, TLC is this weekend on Sunday, and I believe that Adam Pacitti is doing a live stream. What are you doing there, Ross?
Just knocking.
Oh, I thought you were doing some kind of gesture.
No, I was just knocking my chin for some reason.
Oh, fair enough. I believe that Adam Pacitti will be doing a live stream reactions. I'm just assuming that. I've not actually asked him, but I assume he's going to be doing it. And join in with that as the show goes on. I am doing Twitch every Wednesday with Owen at 6 p.m. Ross, do you have anything you want to promote to the fans?
I'll do WTF Moments, which is my last video for TLC on Monday. My last video of the year, sorry, not my last video ever. That came out wrong. There's tier lists going up live. Myself and Sam did SmackDown. Myself and Jack did NXT. And myself and Tom...
No, we did AW.
Other way around then. Myself and Tom... I'm very tired here. Myself and Tom did NXT and me and Jack did AEW. And they'll be going live over a sustained period of time in the future. Yeah.
We did
to
the
be
rosters.
Determined. I think Sam's editing them all as we're sat here right now, so God knows when they'll go live.
That's quite a lot of work for Sam there.
There's like 9 hours of footage, Jack. I worked out 9 hours.
You've a lot of work for you as well.
Oh, yes.
Also, the Culties will be going up, I believe, on Christmas Day. How wonderful
that was the
is
plan,
that?
Yeah. But
well, it'll be around then, certainly.
Adam loves to make a schedule and just do something different. So God knows when he'll go live. Maybe next Halloween he might see the Culties for 2020.
No, they will be out before the end of the year, definitely. And Matthew, have you got anything you'd like to plug?
The last Twitch stream this Saturday for myself of this year. As Ross pointed out, it's easy to forget that of the year bit. Yeah, I'll be doing that this Saturday. What's it going to be? I don't know. You have to watch and find out. It's not going to be South Park 64 again, though. Bloody hell.
So it was bad. It was actually bad.
It turns out Triple Jump were right. Who knew? The people who have been doing gaming videos for years who know about stuff were actually telling the truth. Yeah.
Because I only have fond memories of that game as well, but apparently no. Apparently it
turns out the memories are better than reality. It sucks.
Just like wrestling. Right, there we go.
Right, that's it. Oh, what a beautiful way of bringing it together. Should we do the outro?
Yeah, thanks very much, everybody. And we will see you very soon.
Bye. Join us.
We don't do that for this one, Matthew. That's for
podcast. Don't join us. Sod off.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.